Are you a follower of Jesus? Before you answer that, consider what it truly means with Pastor John Randall.
Following Jesus is not simply singing a chorus, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back," and then I turn back and no longer follow him. I keep on following him. I keep on running the race. I keep on fighting the good fight of faith empowered by the Spirit. When Jesus calls you to follow after him, he means for us to follow after him. And if you are not following Jesus today, then you're not following Jesus.
Before making a purchase, most of us carefully consider the cost. And today on A Daily Walk, consider the cost of following Jesus. It's not an easy road, but there's not a better road to be on. Pastor John Randall has an eye on Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 57. We'll be introduced to a couple of men today. The first was naive about what was required in following the Lord. The second had his priorities out of alignment. Maybe you can relate. Let's see what we can take away from this.
Luke's gospel this morning, the 9th chapter, and I want to draw your attention to the 57th verse as we continue looking at the life and ministry of Jesus, considering this morning the subject of what it means to follow Jesus. What does that actually mean, to follow the Lord? And so we look here now in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" In Luke chapter 9, in verse 22, as well as verse 44, Jesus had made it clear that he was going to be betrayed, that he would be rejected, that he would be killed, and that he would rise again from the dead the third day. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says that the time had come for Jesus to be received up, and therefore he set his face toward Jerusalem. This was in reference to the fact that he was making his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission by being crucified on a cross to secure the salvation of man. It was on this road to the cross then that Jesus invited others to come and to follow him. Luke here writes about three men who were potential followers of Jesus. Two of the three men expressed a desire to follow, and the other man was invited by Jesus to follow. The word "follow" here is an important one. It is used in what is called the present imperative tense, and it simply means that it was an ongoing command. It implied continuity. It implied continuance. It meant something beyond a single moment in time. It meant rather a way of life. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he meant, "Keep on following me for the rest of your life." It is sad, but it is true, and you can note it in the Gospels, that there were some, when Jesus' ministry began, they started out following him, but toward the end of his ministry, they left him. In John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, it says there that many followed him no more. And when they stopped following Jesus, he turned to his disciples and he said, "Are you also going to leave me?" And their response was, "Where else are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life." The question is, why did they begin following him and then stop following him? I believe for some, they did not understand that Jesus was calling them to a way of life. Perhaps they assumed that following Jesus meant one moment that they went forward somewhere. The only problem was they didn't go forward from there. In fact, some of them even went backward from there. Following Jesus is not simply singing a chorus, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back," and then I turn back and no longer follow him. I keep on following him. I keep on running the race. I keep on fighting the good fight of faith empowered by the Spirit. When Jesus calls you to follow after him, he means for us to follow after him. And if you are not following Jesus today, then you're not following Jesus. Listen, some of you, next weekend, right out here on this patio, in this courtyard, you're going to go into the waters of baptism. And you are outwardly expressing to all who will see you there, I am going to follow Jesus. This is real. This isn't some religious exercise that I go through because I need to get wet. I am going through this because I'm outwardly declaring I am following Jesus with my whole life. This isn't a part-time thing that I'm doing. This is a way of living that I am entering into. And in these three encounters that Jesus has with three different individuals, we'll notice a couple of things as they consider the call to follow Jesus. First of all, in verse 57, as they were journeying on the road, one man said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." In a parallel passage found in Matthew's gospel, we come to realize that this man was actually a scribe. And scribes were highly esteemed in the Jewish community. They were experts in the law. They were religious lawyers who interpreted the law of Moses as well as the law of the rabbis. They were authorized by Jewish authority. They were highly educated and they were loyal to the Jewish system. Many of the scribes that you read about in Scripture were generally hostile toward Jesus. You will find them joining with the Pharisees, with the chief priests, and actually conspiring together to put Jesus to death. But apparently this scribe was different from others. He came to Jesus and declared that he desired to follow him. Perhaps he felt compelled emotionally or drawn to Jesus. Who wouldn't be in light of what Jesus was doing? But in essence, he was saying, "Lord, I want you to be my teacher and I'm going to be your student for the rest of my life. Wherever you go, I want to follow you." And this declaration, it appears to be very sincere. His profession of willingness to follow Jesus was very commendable. However, like Jesus' own disciples, the 12, this scribe did not know where it was that Jesus was going. And furthermore, it seems that Jesus' response to his declaration, we detect that he was somewhat naive as to what the requirements were to actually follow Jesus. It appears that he had an underlying idea or assumption that in traveling with Jesus, there's going to be certain comforts that are going to be available to you if you're a disciple. Man, to be a disciple of Jesus, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait. It seems that this scribe had not fully considered what being a disciple of Jesus truly meant, because we'll find, I believe, that he was concerned about personal comfort over full and complete commitment to Christ. You remember Jesus said earlier in this same chapter some of the requirements to be a disciple. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me." These were the requirements. We also have observed that Jesus, when he was with people, he could discern their thoughts and the intents of their heart. He knew what was going on inside of them. When the Pharisees were questioning him, he knew the reason was because they were testing him, trying to ensnare him. When men came professing that he was a great teacher, he knew exactly what was in their hearts. And I believe Jesus knew what was behind the request that this scribe had made, or this desire that he had. And that's why Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, what Jesus is saying to this scribe is simply this: don't think that following me is going to be an easy ride. Don't think that following me is going to be without difficulty. Actually, it's on the contrary. Jesus lets him know right up front that what he can expect instead of comfort is hardship along this road. If you're truly going to follow Jesus, you have to understand that trials come with the territory. Some people don't understand that. They think when they come to Christ that all their problems go away and it's just clouds and rainbows all the way to glory. And then clouds and rain come. And you begin to wonder, what is this about? What about the peace? What about the joy? What about the love? Where did all of that, the grace? Oh, it's all there. But it sustains you in the midst of what this fallen world can bring. It may be even some here this morning in this sanctuary that at one time you were following Jesus and maybe you had some false assumptions like that and you thought that every problem was going to go away and you found that actually some of your problems only increased. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. He said, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, you don't enter into the playground, you enter into the battleground. This is where war happens. Spiritual battle takes place. Casualties in war. Things happen when you enter into this battle. And some people don't understand that. And so rather than continue to follow Jesus, they walk away from Jesus. They want to follow him when it's convenient, but they don't want to follow him when it's difficult. You remember Jesus in teaching used a parabolic method. That is using an illustration to help people understand a spiritual truth. And one of those parables was that of the sower. Jesus said there was a sower that went out, and the seed that the sower threw out on the soil represented the word of God, and the soil in which the seed fell upon represented the hearts of the people who were hearing the word that was presented. And in that parable, he told of one seed falling among the rocks. And initially when it heard it, it sprang up with great joy. And it says that it received it and it was so excited. And then it says that the sun beat down upon it. The sun was representative of trials, hardship, persecution that accompanied the gospel. And rather than continue to grow and flourish in the midst of that because it had no depth, it immediately withered away. And some people are like that when they come to Christ. Man, it's exciting. Oh, this is so great. I just found Jesus. Suddenly persecution, trials. Oh my goodness, I can't take this. And they just wither away. And they don't want to follow anymore because there's no depth. Guys, when Jesus calls us to follow him, we are not to be fair weather, fickle, what's in it for me, disciples. Jesus called us and we need to know what it is that we are being called into. It was J.C. Ryle, that commentator of old, he put it this way. I love it. He said that Jesus would have no person enlisted under false pretenses. He would have it distinctly understood that there's a battle to be fought, a race to be run, a work to be done, and many hard things to be endured if we propose to follow him. Salvation, he is ready to bestow without money, without price. Grace, by the way, and glory in the end shall be given to every sinner who comes to him. But he would not have us ignorant that we shall have deadly enemies along the path, the world, the flesh, the devil, and that many will hate us, slander us, persecute us if we become his disciples. He does not wish to discourage us, but he does wish us to know the truth. Jesus wants us to know what it is that we're getting ourselves into. And this first potential follower didn't understand what was entailed in actually following Jesus. And some people don't. They don't understand that. And the question that we must ask ourselves this morning is, are you following Jesus? Are you following him? Are you living in close fellowship in relationship to Jesus? Have you followed him at one time, but now trials have come and you kind of step back and you kind of, you know, cooled off and you're just either you're stagnant or you're going backwards. Where are you at with the Lord today? Are you following him? That is the question that every person must answer this morning as it is being asked. Am I following Jesus? Am I closer to Jesus now than when I started this race? Or am I farther back? Am I farther away? Am I growing in this relationship with Jesus? Am I abounding in this grace that he has given to me? Or have I taken it for granted and just kind of thrown in the towel and just, I'm still a Christian, I believe in Jesus. Where are you at? It's a searching question to be sure. The next person that came to Jesus, we find had difficulty with his priorities. The first man, he was somewhat naive concerning what was required. But the next man, we find, had his priorities out of alignment. In verse 59, Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus now turns to a man, perhaps who is standing by in earshot of this conversation, listening, and he says to him, why don't you follow me? And immediately he responds to Jesus and calls him Lord. And then he tells him that he has to have a funeral for his father. Now, at first glance, Jesus' response to this man, let the dead bury their dead, that seems a little harsh. I mean, Jesus, let's think about this. The guy's got, he's having a funeral for his family. His father died. Let's be sensitive to this, right? This seems like you're a little impervious to what he's going through. I mean, that's kind of harsh. That's what you might think at first glance. But in order to understand this passage, you got to dig a little deeper into what this man is saying, and that will help you to understand the response that Jesus gave him. The first problem is his response to Jesus. Jesus gives a command, follow me, and his response is, Lord, let me first. You see the inconsistency in that. Lord, let me first. Wait a second. If he's Lord, that means he's first, right? Not me. Lord, let me first go and do this or do that. He didn't understand what it meant to call Jesus Lord. But the second thing to point out is this. The man wasn't saying that his father was dead at home, that his body was there decaying and so forth, and that he needed to have a funeral for him. When he says, I must bury my father first, it was a familiar Middle Eastern statement, meaning this. I must stay at home until he's gone so that I can bring his estate to its final point so that I can receive my inheritance. Jesus, I'll follow you someday, but I've lived too long not to get my inheritance. I mean, his dad could have lived for another decade. Who knows? He wasn't dying. He wasn't in bad health necessarily. He could have been in great health. But what he was saying to Jesus is, I'll follow you when it's more convenient. Right now, I got some other priorities that I've placed in front of you. Thank you for the invitation, but no thank you. I'm not going to follow you in that sense. In fact, the man could have thought, Jesus, I just heard you say to this guy, you don't know where you're going to sleep tonight. Well, I know where I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping at my house. And I'm not ready to follow you. It's not convenient. In other words, he had other priorities that were ahead of Jesus. And when Jesus responds to him, he gives him a rebuke. When he says, let the dead bury their own dead, what he's saying is, let those who are spiritually dead bury those who are physically dead when the time is right. When they need to make those arrangements, they will. But for you, right now, at this moment, you need to be going out and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You need to be telling people how to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. His priorities were out of alignment. He wanted to serve Jesus when and only when it was convenient. But it was never more convenient than at that moment, right then, when Jesus said, follow me. And so he put it off. He procrastinated rather than preach the kingdom of God. But here's what you find out. If you're going to preach the kingdom of God, if you're going to live for the kingdom of God, then you're going to have to let go of the kingdom of this world. This man apparently wanted his reward, his inheritance in this life, and he was willing to sacrifice following Jesus for the temporary fulfillment that the world provided him. It's where his heart was. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. And his treasure was in that inheritance that was here that eventually could be taken from him. And that's where he had his treasure. And so therefore, his heart was there and his heart was divided. Jesus was not the top priority in his life. And there are many who fall under this category. Jesus is not the top priority. Jesus is, he's a priority somewhere in the list of priorities. But when I say I'm going to follow Jesus, when I commit my life to Jesus, that means from that moment on, the top priority in my life is Jesus, period. Every other priority that falls out of my life or falls under that category, falls under the category of Jesus. Everything else flows out of that. Jesus is above my relationship to my wife. My relationship to my Jesus takes precedent. It's the first priority. And I really won't be a good husband if he's not. My relationship to my children, although I love them with everything, my family, it falls under the category after my love for Jesus. And I'm not really going to be a good dad if I'm not in love with Jesus. I'm not going to be a very good example to these children that God has entrusted me with if Jesus isn't the priority. And I certainly shouldn't think that they're going to make Jesus a priority if he's not a priority to me. You see, it has to flow out of that. Jesus is my priority. That's what it means to follow him. That's not some, you know, lofty thing that we, you know, think about and, oh, that's great for some people. That's for the disciple. That's for the person who seeks to follow Jesus. If not, my heart is divided. And I've found that I can't serve Jesus with all of my heart if my heart is divided. If I'm trying to live like the rest of the world and follow Jesus at the same time, I can't do that. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. This was the great problem with the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? What good work can I perform? You remember what Jesus said to him? He said, why don't you keep the commandments? He said, which ones? Jesus began to list some of the commandments as it related to his relationship to his fellow man. He said, well, I haven't murdered anybody. I don't lie on a regular basis. Most times. I do this and I do that and I'm pretty good. And I honor my father and mother. Do I lack anything else? Jesus said, yeah, there's one other thing. There's one other thing. One of the commandments he overlooked, he had another God. And his God was his possessions. It wasn't wrong having possessions. The possessions had him. Jesus said, why don't you go and sell all that you have and come follow me, you'll have treasure in heaven. And it says that he walked away sorrowful. Someone has called that meeting with the rich young ruler the great refusal. Everything he wanted to know, everything he needed to know, he found in Jesus and he walked away from it. He refused it. What was it that was keeping him back? He had some other God. Jesus could not be the priority in his life. There were other things that took precedent. And maybe for this man who came to Jesus and said, at a more convenient time, maybe he thought to himself, I don't know that what you can offer me is as good as what I'm going to get when my dad's gone. What's in it for me if I leave this and follow after you? Is there anything? Is there any kind of plan, retirement plan for those that follow after you? I mean, is this really worth it? You know, the disciples also had that question. Again, in Matthew chapter 19, they said to Jesus, Lord, we have left all and followed you. In essence, what's in it for us? And Jesus responded to that concern of his disciples, and he said this, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits upon his throne in his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Is there something in it for you? Oh, you better believe it. Something that can't be taken away. Something the government can't tax. I mean, it is there. It's reserved for you in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, Peter tells us in 1 Peter. Let me ask you a question. What are your priorities? Is Jesus the priority in your life? Do all other priorities fall under that category? Or are there other things that for some reason you have placed above him? If I'm going to truly follow him, Jesus must take precedent in my priorities. He must. That is what it means for him to be Lord. You see, when I get saved, when you gave your life to Christ, if you're a Christian here this morning, Jesus has the title deed to your life and to mine. And because I belong to him, I was purchased with a price. He can do with me what he wants to do with me. He can send me where he wants to send me. And I willingly will go because he's the Lord and I'm the servant. And he's the priority. Is he your priority today? Or are your priorities out of alignment? If they are, ask the Lord to readjust your priorities, to recalibrate your life in the proper order that it's supposed to be in. Is Jesus Lord? Someone said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. And I understand that this is a process. I don't always follow closely, you might say. I don't always feel like I'm where I need to be and I'm not doing enough. But Jesus just says, follow me. Walk the same road with me. It's important.
This is A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, who today continued our study of Luke, just part of our Through the Bible journey. Would you like to hear this message again? Just go to adailywalk.org or call and request a CD copy for a cost of $5 at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Another convenient way to listen to Pastor John is through our mobile app. Be among the thousands that are being encouraged in their daily walk by downloading that today. Find our app by searching for Calvary South OC. And if you're into podcasting, look for us wherever you get your podcasts. Well, as we're going through the Bible right now on A Daily Walk, we thought it would be a good idea to encourage you to do the same in your personal time with the Lord. Have you ever read through the entire Bible? Why not do that in 2024? We have a Bible that can help you. It's the 1-Year Bible New Living Translation. Now, this is the large print, thin line, soft cover edition. It's arranged in 365 daily readings, one for each day of the calendar year. So go through the Bible with us and request the 1-Year Bible today when you call 877-242-0828 or order online at adailywalk.org. It's available for the cost of just $12. As the Lord leads, we would also appreciate your financial and prayerful support. We're consistently hearing from people that are being helped through the teaching of God's Word, and your gifts help to make that possible. So thank you for standing with us here at the close of another year. To make a year-end donation today to help us continue the ministry on your station in the year ahead, visit adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. If you're not a part of our online communities, start following us today. Pastor John shares biblical encouragement throughout the week on Instagram at John P. Randall and on Twitter at PJRandall7. Well, there's much more to come in the Gospel of Luke, so be sure to join us next time for A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.